We're here for one reason, and that is to glorify God and to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus, and to go on to a full reward. Now, a lot of people will never get a full reward. Some will never even bring forth any fruit to perfection. There will be some that will be saved as if by fire, all of their works being burned, but they themselves being saved as though by fire. And then there will be some that will not bring forth as much fruit as others, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. It depends on as to your submission to God, your surrender to God, as to what you desire of heavenly things. Then some will bring forth that 100-fold as to go on to be perfect, even as the Father in heaven is perfect. And of course, they that go on to be perfect, as to those that really do their best for perfection, though they'll stumble and stagger like all the rest, but because of their endeavor as to do their very best, then God makes up for their shortcomings. And as a result of that, there's nothing that's charged against them, and God marks them a perfect score. And the weakness of whatever their stumblings was is washed out and blocked it out, and they have the filler of his own strength as to make their chain without a weak link. So this is wonderful, and in thus doing, we become the bride of Christ. Paul said, I press forward to the prize of the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, which is becoming the bride of Christ, or which is going on to be perfect. For to be the bride of Christ, you have to be part of Christ. To be the bride of a man, you have to be part of that man. And that's his own body. And I see a lot of times, as I go to and fro in the world, I see men lusting after another woman. And of course, men lust after women and women lust after men. But as the Bible said, the lust of the flesh of the devil's there. He'd lust after anything. I better not say it that way, but he will. Anyway, he'll lust after anything. But I just think a lot of times when those women are lusting or the men are lusting, I think the man lusting after that woman, and sometimes she gives place to it, sometimes she kind of caters to it, married or unmarried. The devil, he don't care, you know. But I think about it, when the man is lusting after that woman and trying to attract her, entertain her, entice her, which women do men the same way. The Bible said women mince with their feet as they go, and it said don't let them take you with their eyes, because they work their eyes too. And demon spirits are always there in forms and expression. But anyway, I've thought a lot of times when the women are lusting or when the men are lusting, as to the men lusting after the woman, I've thought now they don't realize that they're lusting after her husband, that she is the body of her husband, and they're actually lusting after that body. And that is, of course, perversion. But it's true, she's bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And it's very sad to think that people will do that, and yet they will do that. It's so wonderful to be a Christian, and it's so wonderful to love one another with all purity, as in Christ, to love one, the Bible said, to love the brothers and sisters with all purity in Christ. And it's so wonderful. See, for as in heaven, there won't be any marriage. As in heaven, you remember when they came to Jesus, they said to Jesus, Master, we would learn one thing of thee, and of course tempting Jesus to try to trap him in his words. The Pharisees and scribes were cunning like a fox, always trying to do that. And they said, this woman, she married a man and he died and there was no children. And of course, as I say in the Old Testament, you have no child, you have no inheritance. Because it's symbolic of having no Christ, you don't go to heaven. You don't have no glory, in that he's the heir of the glory. But anyway, as it was said, and to the woman, there came another man, and she was married, and on down to the seven that had her. Now, they said, when they really thought they had him trapped, they said, now, when they get to heaven, whose wife shall she be? Jesus just boldly answered back and said, you do err not knowing the scripture. Now, I tell you, that was like dashing cold water in the face of them great Bible scholars, the Pharisees and scribes who thought they ruled the world. He said, you do err not knowing the scripture. He said, for in heaven they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but they are as the angels. So then in heaven, you are spirits. In heaven, we are all spirits. The first man Adam, a living soul, and the last man Adam, a quickening spirit. Well, that is to say the living soul for multiplication purposes. See, we are as spirits. We are born to the spirit. Therefore, he that is born of spirit is spirit. And he that is born to flesh is flesh. And in the first man Adam, we are born to flesh as to a living soul, and we all die because of sin. But in Jesus, we are born to the Spirit, and we all live because of righteousness. And the body is dead because of sin. So then once we're changed from the living soul to the quickening spirit, we can never sin again. So if we can never sin again, we can never die. It's all over. We brought that out the other night about the loosening of the prisoners. So we realize that God has wrought such a wonderful thing in Calvary for the believers. And the thing that we're wanting to do is to believe with all of our heart, to love him with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our heart, to love our neighbor as ourselves. This is the beautiful thing, is that love is of God. I know there's philo love and then there's agape love. And as to the agape love, it's God love, and the other is lust as to human love. And as to the human love, it loves in such a way that it will love its wife and kill you if you attempt to love her. But as to agape love, you can love everyone and everyone can love you. And in heaven, there's no sensations as to human body, as to human senses, as to relation, as to the opposite sex. There will be no such thing in heaven, because in heaven, there's neither male nor female as to the spirit. And when we get there, we'll all be brothers and sisters in Christ with all purity, and there'll never be any remembrance of anything as to passions or as to those things that are given just for temporal purposes, as to multiply and replenish the earth, as to furbish and refurbish God's kingdom, as to God being a spirit that he might have these bodies to dwell in. That'll all be over. And all of these people that have went crazy with passions and in movies and magazines and bodies and everything else, just got into perversion and everything else, those devils and demons, as to that is what they'll be judged at, because they gave their bodies to that. They will not be remembered again. And as I said, when the grace is lifted, that will be at the time that the church finishes its course. It will remain until then, because it is not given for the wicked. I know that we get the idea that God has spilt the blood for the wicked, and that he hath put this blood on the seat of atonement, so everybody in the world as to the wicked, you know, can be happy, and God loves everybody. But as I've said so many times, if a man was running around after me with a shotgun trying to blow my brains out, he'd have a hard time convincing me that he loved me. And the Bible said, as concerning the wicked, I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. For I am angry with the wicked every day, and all of their prayers are abomination in my sight, and all of their offerings are abomination in my sight. And all nations that forget me, I will turn them into hell, God said. So then we know that God doesn't love the wicked. It is true that the Bible said it's not my will that the wicked should perish, but that all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. And it is true that the love of God has gone out to the wicked and to all the other, in this sense, that the blood is on the seat of atonement and the rain is upon the just and the unjust. And Jesus had to die to take away the sins of the world, as to give us this momentary thing, as to a dispensation of grace. Until we, who are born of the grace of God, should take hold of this thing, and then after the church matures, then that grace is gone, and you'll see how much God loves the wicked when he makes their blood run to the horse's bridle. See, so, as I was telling someone today, you couldn't picture a man, even if he was a man of love, of great love and great courtesy and compassion, you couldn't picture him loving somebody that was standing there to kill his little ones. Every time he turned his head, that person was waiting to kill his little ones, and had already killed some of them and waiting for the chance to kill the others. You couldn't picture that man loving him. He might would have a love for him in the sense that he wouldn't want to see a human being destroyed, but as far as he's concerned, he would judge it the same way that God judges it, and he would say, this is a brute beast made to be taken and burned, and as soon as he got a chance, he'd lay him even with the ground to protect his children. So then God is that way. God hates the wicked. He's angry with the wicked every day. And David of old said, I hate evil with a perfect hatred. And he's holding his sword ready. He's wet his sword and he's holding it ready for the wicked. So though you see the grace and mercy upon all these people that are out in the world and they're doing their thing and they're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness at the time of this grace, taking advantage just to frolic and let devils live in their body and utilize this body for the foolishness and lasciviousness of the flesh. See, and they're going to be called into judgment for that, and they're going to be destroyed, and God despises their image as soon as the light strikes it. Ah, he despises it. Right now he can't see it. He's looking upon humanity through the eyes of Jesus or the blood of Jesus, and that way he allows all humanity to continue. He cannot see their image of iniquity. All he can see is the blood of his son atoning. And he cannot see the people in their first birth as to their image, because that image is the bastard child image and despised in the sight of God, and he cannot look upon iniquity. So then he is sparing the world for one reason, and that is because you are relative to the world in that your body has never been changed. Though your body has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, it has never been changed. And because it has never been changed, there has to be, as the rain from above, there has to be that glory of God is from heaven coming down upon you as the rain. It has to come down upon you to keep you alive. So to do that, God has to allow for that achanda, and he does that as to allow for you. See, he has to allow for you, and it means that because the righteous are blessed, then the wicked are partakers of their blessing while this blood is there to protect them. But to prove that is true, the Bible said the very day that Lot went out of Sodom, out of Gomorrah, the fire came just like that. And that's what God thought of the wicked. And it's the same way as to the Bible reference back to that. That the very day that the church goes out, the blood will come off the seat of atonement, and the anger of God will be kindled against the wicked, because he hath no time for the wicked, and he would not be a just God nor a loving God if he made allowance for the wicked to give grace to the wicked that they might live to kill and destroy. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, God has to give this leisure and this grace to the wicked because you never know that they might change and come to God. Folks, the Bible says that God knoweth those that are his, and we're all predestinated before knowledge. He knows everyone that belongs to him and that's not wicked, and he knows everyone that don't belong to him and that is wicked, and he could slay them overnight like that. Now, but the thing is, he has to do it because of what I told you. Remember this one thing just before we read here. Keep this thought in mind. And that is, as I've said so many times, in the garden, there was no such thing as rain coming down from heaven to create a mud hole and a mess like it is today. See, there was no such thing. But the mist came up from the ground and it watered the vegetation and kept everything intact and everything nice and neat. And when man fell from that lofty state of paradise, after that, God could not be with them anymore. Therefore, as to the watering from the earth, as to coming up and that were made out of the earth, then the Shekinah could not do that anymore. They had fallen into the realm of the beast, and they were now under the constraint of a new master. And Satan was the controlling factor of their life, and God could not even get near them, because God has to work through a mind. He is a spirit, and he has to work through a mind. And the only mind that he can work through is a pure mind. The Bible speaks of stirring up your pure mind, which, of course, in our day is the mind of Christ. Because of man's fall, it had to become the mind of Christ, which is the mind of God. And God has to work through that mind to get to your interspiritual angelic being. Because your angelic being is cut off from God, who is the spirit of life, and you are dying. It's like a man with a canteen of water. He's out on a desert. He doesn't have enough to make it to the other side to get to the well. He's too far away from the first well to get back. So it is a fact that God cannot get to your inter-spiritual being. So then you die, because this mind that Adam and Eve conceived of as from the tree of knowledge It is interwoven with your outer being as to within the flesh there dwelleth no good thing, Paul said. For a will is present, but how to perform that which is good I find not. And I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. So, in the thing that I'm saying is this mind of satanicism is a wall of iniquity. And the Bible tells us that we should cast down this mind and cast down the imagination. And every thought of the human being should be brought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So that means that we must have within us the mind of Christ. To have the mind of Christ, and then God can work through the mind of Christ by our faith in Christ as to what he did for us as to the atonement, and our iniquities are gone. The body is dead because of sin. Jesus took our image of iniquity out of the way, nailed our iniquity to the tree. Then he turns to us as to the mind of Christ, and when he does that, he comes in through the mind of Christ into our spirit as a spirit called the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, and seals our spirit by an interwoven thing to where that Satan can never touch that spirit because it's radiating with the wonderful exuberance and light of understanding or righteousness of God. And as light and darkness hath no fellowship in that light will eradicate darkness, then that means you never have any problem. But if you do not let God come in by receiving the atonement of his Son as to faith in his righteousness and by receiving the mind of Christ as to whatever measure you receive it. If you do not allow that, God said, I will come and move your candlestick. And your candlestick is your spirit. For the Bible said that the spirit of man is the candlestick of the Lord. And it is searching out the inward parts. Or that is to say, life consists of light. And God said, I will just come and move your light. I'll blot your name out of the land of the living. But if you'll follow me, I will not blot your name out of the land of the living, but I will extend your life as to an eternal source to the extent that you won't even have to go by the way of the grave as to separation from the body, as saying it will come to a change. And you have separated from the body to the extent that the body is dead, but Calvary buried in water baptism, the spirit having gone back to God who gave it at that death, and you are they that dwell in heaven. And there is a reuniting as to spiritually speaking when the Lord descends from heaven. But anyway, I was just saying that to say this, that when man fell from the grace of God as to the image of his covering, as to the Shekinah image of being made in the image of Christ or God, after that, God had to send the rain from heaven. And so then the grace comes down today as the rain from heaven, the rain on the just and the unjust, that to keep the just alive because they haven't been changed in their body, then the unjust gets the benefit of it. They, as Satan, believe, become very religious. Satan controls the world by believing. If you believe there's one God, you do well, because the devil believes also and trembles. And he controls the world by that, runs the world. He's in control of the world. He does all of these evil things by turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, or taking advantage of this day of grace so that he can do his thing. Now, in this, that means that they that are out yonder in the world, they are also in heaven, as in the second heaven. And their sins are taken away as to the second heaven, or this dispensation of time. And you are they that dwell in heaven. The woman that was heavy with child was also in heaven in Revelation 12. When the red dragon, which is the blood life, was there to devour. And I say this again, that when we say the blood life ready to devour, we're talking about the soul carnal mind of that of life born out of passions, as to the blood being the red dragon life and the life imprisoned to that beast blood down through the years, and this blood as to the dragon cast out as it was taken in symbolic means from the veins of Jesus, in that he was made in our image, and yet made in our image and yet not sin, and his blood given as a symbolic thing, and yet it was pure and the only form of life to start a new generation by the washing of the water of the word, or the washing of regeneration. So then in seeing this, we realize that when they fell from that Shekinah image, the red dragon had already imprisoned by the means of blood the life, the breath of life that God had breathed into man when he became a living soul. We realize that, see, so we see that being imprisoned, it was imprisoned within the body, and the body became the bastard child of iniquity as a derivative from the blood cell of that life. And in doing so, then you are imprisoned from your first birth. And your life is imprisoned as a spirit because God is a spirit. And fallen from that God image, Adam lost that title, the Son of God. And then when the second man, Adam, came, he resumed that title as the Son of God. And he brought back the lost image. And today, in the mind of God, we've already been changed into that image, though it doesn't appear yet, but Calvary's already accepted over the chasm of death as to time, and out there in the Thessalonian change, he already sees us as what we are, the dear children of God. That is what we are in the mind of Christ, and as I so said, given us the mind of Christ with all of these benefits, whereas given to us in Christ before the world ever was, as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, that it might be within us like a little baby as we walk and talk the revelation as to the mind of Christ revealing itself from glory to glory, from measure to measure, from thought to thought, to bring forth the full scope of God as to an understanding and intelligence to swallow up the body, that it might be him living and not us that liveth, but Christ living within us. And as Paul said, the life I now live, I live by the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So then the rain is coming down upon earth. It's coming down on the just and on the unjust, because God has to do this to keep his creature alive and to preserve the interspirit until the interspirit as to Christ being formed within you, Paul said, I travail until the fullness of Christ comes into you as to the mind of Christ and the faith of Christ, and then the change will be made in the body. And when the change is made in the body, there won't be any more grace as to the blood on the seat of atonement that will come down from heaven, and the wicked will thus be cut off, and the devils, as to the red dragon that you read of in the book of Revelation, Revelation 12, you won't find them in heaven anymore, because the only way that they are in heaven is that they live in human bodies. Which human bodies? Because of the church, even them that are without. Which bodies have right to the grace of God, Jesus having taken away their sins for the benefit of the church. See, and they live in those bodies. They are in that grace, but they are walking devils. They are walking freaks. And your college is the stem of that tree, and your educational system is the stem of that tree. And if you'll watch your college boys and girls and your high school, and it's getting on down now to the grammars as well, the little elementary children, as we would say. See, and they are fast becoming walking devils. And the law, as to Satan having control of this world, he's working with the law and forcing the children to go to school. See, before that came along, children were raised up on the farm and they had good understanding. The Bible said all of them that are of God have a good understanding. You don't have to go to school to learn. It was said of Jesus, how do you know letters, never having learned? And it was said of them that was going into Canaan land, you know, you don't have to learn. God will make you have a good understanding. And those people that have been learning all their life, when you come forth, they'll be afraid of you because of the understanding and the knowledge you have. And as the Bible said, when Stephen spoke over there, that they could not withstand his wisdom by which he spake, they beheld his face as that of an angel. As the Bible said, wisdom maketh thy face to shine. All right, so then we see with this rain coming down upon them, then that means that the wicked come before God as in the day of judgment. Satan came, as the sons of God came to present themselves, so came Satan. And when ye who are now the sons of God, John said, already are ye the sons of God. Now, when you come to present yourself before God as here in the church, then Satan also comes. He comes in that body of that has given itself to the devil, as it was said of Judas, I have chosen 12, one of you is the devil. And as was said of Peter, it said, get thee behind me, Satan, because the mind of Satan caught hold of Peter. He had not yet been filled with the Holy Ghost. And so then he was taken into captivity there, for they that are of the world are taken into captivity at the will of Satan. So we see then that this is almost over. The days of the Gentiles is almost over. And with that, the Jews will come in, because the Jews represent the body as to that which is dead from Calvary, to show that the Gentiles and the people in their body are dead in the sight of God, that God may save them by grace and not charge anything against them according to their physical deeds and actions, that salvation be by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God. But that does not eliminate the fact that you must be holy in your body as well as spirit, because if God saves you by grace, by the blood of Jesus, seals your interangelic spiritual being, it is from that ye are perfect, but God is expecting of you that perfection within you should be made manifest in your mortal genes as the life of Christ. And that until every thought is in subjection, and until it is not you living, but Christ that liveth and walketh in the earth and speaketh in the earth. And of course, some of you will never do that. You're not going to do that. You're carnal minded. And if you're carnal minded, you don't have the mind of Christ. You don't have the Holy Spirit, though you be believers, very religious, and you must die. You must die. To have carnal things, have all you want to, but to have a carnal mind is death. You can never love those things or think on those things. You must think on God, you must praise God, and you must meditate in His laws day and night. Then all things are yours, as it was with Adam and Eve in the garden. They had all things, but they were not carnally minded. And the very minute that she, as Eve, the weakness of the flesh, partook of the tree of knowledge, they became carnally minded and death came in and God was shut off, because God is the Spirit and He made this body to live in, to manifest within you the abundance of life. Jesus said, I'm the Prince of Life. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And He cannot get in when the mind of iniquity as to the tree of knowledge, or the satanic ism of the mind of Lucifer through the beast, is there. All right, and of course that outer part is the beast. It must be killed. All right, let's read here chapter 10. I didn't mean to get to preaching before you read the scripture. Chapter 10, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before His face into every city and place whither He Himself would come. Therefore said He unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth the laborers into His harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lamb among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the street of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works have been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hath revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seems good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And this is true. Though Jesus was right there with these people, he said, having ears you don't hear, and having eyes you don't see. And he said to them, while they looked upon his vesture, said, you have never seen him at any time. And they were there looking at him, because it was very obvious that that was him, because he said to the woman, when she said, Messiah cometh, I am he. He said, lest you believe I am he, as to the people, ye shall die in your sins. And he said, as to Thomas, you know, to Philip, this is me. This is me. See, this is me. Thomas said, lest I can thrust my hand into the nail prints, I can't believe. And as to Philip, suffer us to see the Father. And have I been with you so long, and yet you've not known me, he said. Then he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast hid these things from the eyes of the wise and prudent. As to the wise and prudent, the old tree of knowledge, the professors, the great men of the earth, the Bible said, and the wicked shall not see when good cometh. The eyes, as to the eyes of understanding, have been blinded, and they cannot comprehend this light. Though this light, as to her light most precious, though this light shines in the darkness of intellectual ignorance, the Bible said the ignorance as to intellectual thinking and knowledge could not comprehend this light. But unto you that are children of light, he said, to comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of this wonderful, great revelation of God, or understanding of God, as God reveals himself to you through Jesus Christ, as from this intersource into the mortal genes of your body. Well, anyway, we could preach on and preach on and say things, but I just want to run across a few little things tonight. I really didn't mean to stretch out as far as I did in introducing so many thoughts on so many things tonight, but I was just trying to explain to you that with the rain coming down from above, all the mud holes are here. All the mud is on the water. And John likens people to waters, and the mud on the waters has to represent the blood and to represent the corruption, because with his blood, the corruption. See, and we could say a whole lot right there, too, as to detail some things, but passing on to a thought here to complete it, what we have to realize is there will come a day when the rain will not come down upon the unjust anymore. And it will not come down upon the just anymore. For there will come a day when God will restore that the cankerworm has eaten, the years the locusts have got, as to all of that that the caterpillar took, as to saying serpent the old worm, or Satan the old serpent. So we see that there's coming a time when God is going to cut off this grace from heaven, and the blood will be gone off of the mercy seat. But before he does that, he must get us into the secret chambers of our God, where we are born again of the Spirit, passing from this living soul, in that it's dead by Calvary and done away with, that we are sealed on the inside with the Spirit unto the day of the redemption of that body, or the change of that body, having sealed that Spirit to where evil can never touch it, which makes us perfect in his sight. So then we realize this, we see this, and we know then of a surety that the rain is going to stop. Once this is done on the inside, then the scripture will come to pass as the Lord turns back to the Jews that represent the redemption of the body. And it will come to pass that, as the Bible has said, through the mouth of the prophet as to the word being brought to them, it is expressed. And in that day, there shall be a fountain open in the house of David. And God has already within you and I, as to the fountain of David, as to the Son of David sitting on the throne of our heart as the kingdom of God within us, has already opened this wonderful fountain. And the Bible said that out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And that these being wells of salvation, that we draw water out of these wells of salvation with joy, for serving God is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Whereas David said, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. A lot of times playing around with the world, if you're not careful, you'll lose the joy of your salvation by getting under oppression, by getting bound, and the devil will be lying to you all the time and telling you you're not a child of God because of your light hardness, and it's by the chastisement of the whipping post. Everyone that cometh unto the Lord, he chastens them first. He deals with you as a son if he chastens you. Be zealous to repent. So we find out that with this, we go through a lot of problems. Jesus, though he was a son to be our example, yet learned the obedience by the things that he suffered. Being made perfect, he become our captain of salvation and the author and the finisher of our faith. All right, the Bible said, then lay aside every weight that doth so easily beset you, and run with patience the race that is set before you, following in the steps of Jesus, who did no sin, and neither was God found in his mouth. So then we realize that we have this heavenly treasure within our earthen vessel, and that the fountain has been opened for us, and we're not dependent on the grace that is on the seat of atonement, only in the sense that this body must be changed. But when it comes to the days of the Jews, as to the fountain being opened in the house of David, as to the earthly perspective coming back in, from that of Calvary to that of the tribulation period, as to that door of heaven, our heavenly perspective being done away with and the gap being closed up. Then when the fountain comes back in, as to the bodily perspective, then the change. And then, of course, death is swallowed up in victory, as to seeing it, as to testifying to it, of what can actually be recorded in the records and the system of the world, as to be substantiated, saying, thus it is, because it's in the knowledge and understanding of mankind. But already it's happened to you and I. Already we've passed from death unto life. Already the body's been buried. Already the spirit went back to God who gave it. Already our spirit has become interwoven with the great spirit of Christ, even the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, that does not let one tiny thing spot us. And we are without spot or wrinkle or blemish in his sight. And this, of course, is the people that he's coming back after, as to the translation. Now, other people will go through the tribulation, but these are the ones that he's coming back after, which means that you're going to have the Holy Ghost. There's only one way you can be without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. And that's through the faith of Jesus Christ, by which you're sanctified. And if you've been sanctified by this faith, though you don't have the Holy Ghost, the house is swept, it's empty, it's cleaned, it's garnished. But even so, there is no way that you can keep devils out. There's too many of them. They will come back even after God has cleansed you. So there's no hope for you of going in the translation. First of all, because God is a spirit and he has to make contact with spirit, that the spirit on the inside of you, through working through the mind of Christ Jesus, coming into you, will change your mortal genes and change it into the celestial, natural body. There's a spiritual body. We're born the image of the earthly as to Adam, the first man, and that we die, we bear the image of the heavenly as to the quickening spirit. But I said that again to make a point right here. And that is to say that God coming into your heart, God coming into my heart, sealing our spirit, it makes us perfect. And when the Holy Ghost comes in, after they were sanctified, cleansed, and all blemishes are gone, when he comes in, sealed, just become interwoven with our spirit, that it's no more us living but Christ, starts working his way out into the mortal genes. Once he does this, we have the infilling of the seal, and the seal cannot be broken, as in the Old Testament, when the king stamped it with the signet ring, nobody dared tamper with it. When the great King of Kings stamps it with the signet as to the seal of the Holy Spirit, then, from then on, nobody can tamper with it, and it can never be touched anymore in any way. So then we see that God has sealed our spirit. And then he can come back and rapture us away, because we're without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Or we're like the lady that's got the pears and the lady that's got the fruit. And the lady that has put these into a preserve, as to changing them into something that she wants to seal and have them at another time. When she breaks the seal, she puts a seal on them to keep them until the time of the breaking of the seal. And should the seal be broken or not take during the time of the waiting of the tearing for use, then it corrupts. But if it's sealed properly, 2 or 3 years later, take it off. It's very tasty and very good. So then, the Bible said, God knoweth those that are his, and this seal stands sure. This seal stands sure. As to the Holy Ghost, God knoweth those that are his. All right, we preached to you sometimes about the 7 seals of Revelation, that these seals had to be loosed. On the back side of the book was sealed with these 7 seals. And we spoke to you of Calvary, how that Jesus closed the book, said it's finished, God sealed it with 7 seals, as to be broke down one at a time, given to the people down through the church ages, because from Moses over to Calvary was too much at one time, they couldn't handle it. So to be wrought in them as a baby growing into the stature, he loosed 1 seal at a time, and when he did that, what he did was he moved his spirit. The Bible speaks of the 7 spirits of God, and a spirit is a seal, that he moved 1 spirit as to a church age messenger, an angel, or in heaven, angels are spirits. And in heaven, we are spirits because we are angels when we're separated from the body. But anyway, we can't go into that, and it'd take too much time to... That would conglomerate what we're trying to say. Now, I read to you where it said, and I beheld Satan. He fell from heaven. And you can find this recorded really as to an expose in Revelation 12. When there's war in heaven, where this woman is heavy with child, as showing the Jewish people, as to their time coming in, as Satan the Antichrist coming in on them, but pointing back to the church, as to the church, the true Jew, as to the spiritual. And so then you find this war in heaven, but just before you find this war in heaven, you find Revelation 10, and you find as to 10 and 7, it said, in the days of the voice of the sounding of the last trump, the mystery of God should be finished. Great is the mystery of godliness. Paul said, I am a steward of the mysteries. And in the latter times, in that day, he said, and the mystery of God should be finished, as he has told his prophets and promised to his prophets. So then in that, you hear something that thunders, and seven thunders utter their voices. And when these thunders utter their voices, John was about to write, because he was writing this thing as to what was being expressed and being revealed, calling it the revealing of God, or the revealing of the things of God, or he titled it the revelation of Jesus Christ. So then in this, being caught up in heaven through that door that Peter opened at Pentecost, now he was seeing these things, and he wrote them down, put them in a book. He sent them to the churches, and here we have record of them today. But when it come to the thunders, John heard it and started to write, and the voice said, see that you write it not, John. So John could not write that. But he went on to say, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, then the mystery of God should be finished. Or that is to say, John, once the seventh angel sounds, he'll have the mystery of the thunders, and the mystery of God will completely be finished. Because these thunders represented something, and the thing that they represented was war in heaven. And you heard thundering last night, and you saw lightning. See, and this thundering and this lightning represents war in heaven. And had there never been a war in heaven, there would have never been lightning and thundering. But as in heaven, so on earth. And all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world have to be understood by the things which do appear, even to the eternal Godhead, so that we're without excuse. God does this for us and in our behalf, so that we can be educated as to an intellectual grasping of those things that are around and about us. In doing this, then we take those things as to an intellectual indoctrination, and then God, as we being elect, moves us into the Spirit, and when the illumination comes, all of these things begin to turn into Spirit. Like the Word, it turns into Spirit and into life. So then Jesus said, my words are Spirit and they are life. So it begins to turn into Spirit and life, and then we look around us and all of the heavens declares handiwork. And we see that God is everywhere and God is in everything, and everything emanates from God. So this is the way God gets back to his creature, in that he's been separated from his creature by the fall in the garden. And until he can get to his creature, educate his creature, get back in to move that mind of corruption as to the middle wall of partition or iniquity, he has to give the rein on the just and the unjust, and as to the love of God. You know, like when a woman's carrying the child. When she is carrying the child, as Revelation indicates over there, heavy with child, as with Mary, in the days of her delivery, she was taxed as Joseph and the others of that time. And we had predicted that when the church got to that state, that it would come to that state, that it would be the end of the world. And sure enough, it's come to that state that they're taxing the church. And it's about time that they're heavy with child, ready to give forth as to the image of Jesus. As to this, that as the war in heaven, just looking at it from there, as a war in heaven, then Lucifer is cast out. We see that over there, the woman heavy with child, and she is ready to bring forth her child. The old red dragon in the second heaven laying right there, ready to devour the child. To devour the child, we say, as to the blood life, the intellectual reasoning, the old education system, as to say, in the church, let's put a pool table in. Let's get some volleyball. Let's do something that's worldly, or let's take an intellectual stroll. So the old red dragon, as to the generation of vipers, are represented by the blood. Here, you find those intellectual people waiting with their little society in the church to have their basketball teams and to get celebrities and get people to run for mayor and put them in the upper echelon and something to give the church prestige, because the devil's got control of it through the intellectual mind, hatching them out of college instead of bringing them in by the leading of the Spirit, in that the callings and gifts of God's without repentance. You can't go to college and become a preacher. With this, then the old intellectual dragon that's in the heavens right now, as to the mercy and the grace of all the benefits of the flesh. See, it is gnawing at them to devour that child with that intellectual indoctrination just as soon as it's born, that quick. But the Bible says, as concerning the true child, he was caught up to the third heaven. Just as quick as Zion travail, or just as quick as Jesus, which represented the woman, the body part, travail, Christ came and was caught up into the third heaven. And of course, Satan has never gotten into the third heaven. The church right now is in the second heaven, and so is the world in the second heaven. Jesus doing away with the sins of the world, and that means that Satan is living in those human bodies that has the dispensational time of grace. See, and during that period of time, then everything is in heaven. But when we are born as of Calvary, we are all together caught up into heaven. At death, as to Calvary, the spirit goes back to God who gave it, the body to the ground, and we're no longer bound within the body of the iniquity of the image of that of the fallen one. And now we are they that dwell in heaven. So the child is caught up to the third heaven, according to the record of the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. Going into the third heaven, the woman goes into the wilderness. The child goes up into heaven, which of course is the same with you and I. When the child is born again, it goes up to heaven. And we're they that dwell in heaven. And we're growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord from Calvary over to the tribulation period is heaven. As to that open door. And to the expose of the Ark of the Covenant, as to that which is within, as to heaven, are the mind of Christ. And then with this, as to us being caught up, our body is buried, and it goes out into the wilderness of that intellectual wilderness, wandering as the church in the wilderness, as it was with the body of the Jew, as to do's and don'ts and trying to understand, and the serpent's always biting us as to that which is intellectual reasoning and oppression, demon spirits. And we have to look upon the brazen serpent even as it was when we're told to look upon Jesus as in the days of Moses. The brazen serpent, or he that was made in the likeness of the sinful worm, or made in the likeness of the serpent, or as to that brazen that could not be penetrated, in that no sin could penetrate. There's nothing that can penetrate you as to get in there. That brazen part will stand the heat and the fierceness of the consummation of God, who is a consuming fire that shall devour his adversaries. And yet there's nothing as to the wrath can penetrate that brazen part, that on the inside you are sealed and protected by the great Holy Spirit. And you are outwardly the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that's without sin, and that there can be no judgment upon you, because he hath once suffered for judgment as to people, and that ends the judgment. No condemnation to you, no judgment. Ye shall never come into the judgment. Ye shall never come into condemnation, but rather ye shall be the judges of all the world, for know ye not that the saints shall appear there at the judgment seat to judge the world, not to be judged. God isn't going to make you his bride. He isn't going to bring about a conception within your heart and let you travail to bring forth his image and be married unto you, as he said, even unto the backslider. I've healed your backslider, married unto you. If you're the members of my body, I've taken away all your wrong. You can't backslide. See, you can't sin. And he isn't going to go through all of this with us and then bring us up before his face to look at his bride and say, well, I'm going to decide whether you're good or whether you're bad, or whether I want you or don't want you, or whether you are corrupt or not corrupt. So then we know that judgment is in the house of the Lord. And here at this very time, the minister is remitting your sins, or is retaining your sins. And by faith of the hearing of the word, as the word comes forth, you believe or you disbelieve, and thus your sins is bound unto you, or your sins are taken away. For it's not the minister speaking, but it is God speaking from within his temple. All right, so we see that Satan, as lightning, has fallen from heaven. He's fallen from heaven. So then we do know this as pertaining to what we've already said as to a little review here. See that the blood is now taken away of the red dragon. Now God has opened the fountain in the house of David as to substantiate and show this with the coming in of the Jews as the resurrection of the dead. And then we are now watered on the inside. No more of that that's coming down from heaven. For when it comes down from heaven, it comes on the just and the unjust. And the unjust becomes a muddle. It becomes a muddled up mind, or it becomes People liken to the waters that become the mud hole, and that for wiggletails and snakes and everything else. But God isn't going to bring it down that wicked anymore, that they can have devils and demons living on the inside of them to be a mud hole for the children to slip in. He isn't going to do that. See, he is going to furbish and refurbish as to the beautiful clean lakes. And those people that are of Christ, that within the waters of their heart, they have the precious angelic beings as to that which is pure that swims in the water. You know, you go down, go out into the ocean, go out into the rivers. Now, you look and you don't see anything but the surface. That's all you can see is just the surface. But the thing is, a real fisherman, they can tell you even on the ocean for miles out, this is the place to fish. And it's like they have x-ray eyes that they can just look down there and they know that's where the fish is. See, because they've been programmed like that, they have, like a physician, they have that kind of mind, like a mechanic that can look right through the motor and determine what the little knock is or define. See, and it's that way with the preacher. See, the preacher, if he's a real son of God, a real child of God, real shepherd of the sheep, like on that ocean, you know, he sees these people as a great body of water, whereas they do represent the ocean, and in that day, as for the new world, there won't be any ocean because there won't be any of those people. As to those things with the creeping things in there. There will be the glass sea. As to the people that have become crystal in this wonderful, beautiful, penetrating thing of Christ as to the light of heaven. But anyway, in this thing, it's out on the ocean. See, you look down in there and you see crawling things. You see octopus. You see crabs. You see all kind of things as the crawfish. And weird things, you see those things, see, because in the world of today, everyone that is not a Christian, if that person has already come to the knowledge of Christ, then they become a habitation of devils and of demons. The Bible even speaks of the church, as to the church world, saying, and Babylon is fallen, has become the habitation of every unclean spirit. And they have driven out the spirits of God and the spiritual people of God. And now they've got devils and demons as the social parties and benefits. And just as religious and as Cain and don't have nothing as to the Holy Spirit. And taking everything that God's got for grace and going on with their devilish doings as to the love of the flesh and the lust of the flesh. See, in all of these, they've forgotten God as to the word of spirit and holiness. God is the spirit of holiness. And he said, everyone that forgets God shall be turned into hell. So to be holy in body and spirit, to serve God in holiness all the days of our life, and that without fear. So we find then that the fountain is being opened in the house of David. And all of those things out there as to that horrible situation. See, God is ridding himself of that. He hath ridded himself of that through the blood of Jesus. And he's going to make it manifest that it is so. And that God has driven the old raven out, and that he's feeding on the corruption that's floating around on the dead waters out there. But the dove has returned, not finding a place for its feet, out there among them, as looking for that new world, waiting for that water to subside. He comes back with this wonderful leaf plucked from the tree of life, in that the Bible said in that day, and these trees that are rooted in the river of life will bring forth the waters of life to fruits of life, and their leaves shall be as for the healing of the nation. And by his stripes we're healed. As to the dove coming into our heart as Christ, he brings that wonderful word of God as to a leaf like a tongue, as to the word within the tongue, and to you and I as that of God. For the Bible said, as to them that are without, the unruly tongue is full of deadly poison. It is full of deadly poison. And the Bible said, no man can tame it. It is set on fire by the course of hell. It is an unruly member of the body. So we find then that God has saved us, he has sanctified us, he's filled us with his spirit, he's done all these great things, and in coming together tonight, as I have in the last numbers of night, hurrying and pushing and pressing to get over a few words, I have to say so many things and say them so fast and cut so many corners as to really detailing these things until it makes it very difficult for you to really understand, especially as babes. And makes it to where it's not so beautiful as a meal prepared and set out everything detailed to where you can just take your time for hours and days and eat off of it. But nevertheless, hurrying through these things to try not to keep you beyond that of the tolerance of your flesh, because a lot of people don't have very much tolerance. And about you just have to give them a nibble or two and let them go. But you that love the Lord, you that do have the tolerance, get with God, study to show yourself approved. Go into solitude. Let the others eat, drink, and be merry. Let them walk and let them go and let them believe what they will. Some of them are babes in Christ and they will be saved. But many of them are nothing but spots and blemishes in your feast of charity to aggravate, to stop, to hinder, or whatever with their small endurances, just to try to spy out your liberties, just to find something to bring into bondage, or to gossip about, or to accuse, or to cause division, you know. So then these people, let them do what they want to, but you hold your steadfastness in God. You be spiritually minded. You think on the things of God. You meditate in them day and night, and you take these things and you really work your way into the things of God and let those other go, because there's nothing you can say that will help them. There's nothing you can say that will do them any good. Those people do not have God, and the love of the world's within them, and the Bible said the love of the Father isn't there. So you don't let that get a hold of you. If God gives you the things of the world, then love God. If God gives you more things of the world, then love God. If God just keeps giving you things of the world, love God. And never love the things of the world. And never become worldly minded. And never get your mind on the things of the world as to what God has given you. Because the very minute that you do it, the devil will take over. He'll come in. He'll vex you. He'll cut across your spirit. Vanity of vanity, Solomon said, all is vanity and vexation of my spirit. So then keep the mind of Christ, that the Holy Spirit may get into you, heal you as to save your body, save your life, which is your spirit, and that the body without the spirit is dead. To save that life, to preserve that life, and you keep the mind of Christ and keep your mind on Christ. And that way the devil can't probe at you. He can't molest you. He can't oppress you. He can't trample your mind down, because he does seek to trample down the mind of humanity. I have learned that if I preach to you, you'll be very patient, because it takes about 45 minutes of preaching, and I can scream and holler and be exuberant and whatever. And then after that, I can let you go. But if I let God talk to you as the revelation of Christ Jesus, I have to just run like a horse. Just run, because you're so impatient. Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you in spiritual sin that you're babes in Christ. I can't do this. Just desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby, which is the feeling of the Spirit, and all these things that's exuberant, that excites you, or some little story about the Bible or something where it brings out how David killed the giants, you know, and put in a little thought here and there, which we do sometime for the babies, like they tell kids Bible stories before they go to bed at night, you know. But with this wonderful meat that belongs to the strong, labor by reasoning, exercise of senses to be able to discern good and evil, it is something that's great and mighty, as the average person cannot talk to a scientist. They cannot talk to a scientist because they are a babe. They are a babe. And being babes, Jesus said, Father, I thank you that you have hid this from those great men of ability as to learning, and made it revelation unto us who are the common class of people, who don't have the special educations and privileges of life as to money and as to temporal values. See, so their evaluation is not proper, but we have the thing that is the better. As Martha said, make Mary help me with the housework and whatever. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about a lot of things in the cares of life, whatever. But Mary's chosen the better part. She sat at Jesus' feet to learn. And that she has chosen shall not be taken away from her. But Martha, you'll lose all that you got. All that you're doing is temporal, and you and the world will pass away with it if you have that kind of mind. So eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Have your houses and your land, have your automobiles, have your money, have your education, have your conveniences, have your securities, because tomorrow you die. Make yourself friends of the unrighteous money, or the mammon of the world, in that you cannot serve mammon and God. And the dictionary, of course, gives mammon its money. Money answers to all things. Money is the god of this world, as to what Satan as a spirit uses to control mankind. See, make yourselves friends of the unrighteous mammon, that when God, who is the great spirit of light and love, rejects you, that they, as to your money friends may receive you in everlasting habitation, because even though it doesn't appear that they're going into the eternal damnation as to the pits of darkness, yet they're on their way. The light will soon be leaving them, and they can receive you as a feller to go with them on their long, long journey. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. For at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. For at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. Happy all the day. Come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today, and come in Tuesday. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart, come into my heart, come into my heart. My soul cries out, oh Lord, how long till my toiling ends and you call me home? Since I caught a glimpse of my home in the sky, nothing in this world keeps me satisfied. Is that the light of home I see? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea, with the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony? That's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me. Seems I can hear all the angels sing with harps of gold and a thousand spring. Earth holds no charm when I hear their song. Sweet Beulah land, my home, sweet home. Is that the light of home I see? Do I feel a breeze
from the crystal sea. With the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony, it's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me. Let's sing this little chorus, can we? I thank you for the valley that I walk through today. The darker the valley, the more I learn to pray. Found you where the lilies, they're blooming by the way. So I thank you for the valleys I walk through today. Thank thee for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank thee for every lonely night I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. And I thank for the valley is I walk through today. Life can't be all sunshine or the flowers would die. The rivers would be desert, all barren and dry. Life can be all blessings, for there'd be no need to pray. So I thank thee for the valleys walk through today. Thank thee for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank thee for every lonely night I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. I thank thee for the valleys I walk through today. Let's give the Lord a hand. I thank thee for the valleys that I walk through. He not only is the Rose of Sharon, but he is also the Lily of the Valley. Let's sing this chorus, Brother Taylor, can we? And I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give him glory, all ye people. Oh, his blood has washed away every stain. Once again together now. And I, can you lift your hands? Can you close your eyes? Can you worship the Lord? Praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. I'm going to ask Brother Gary Armstrong to come up and dismiss us, if he will. Can you worship the Lord now? Time is over and gone. It's over and gone. Even by Calvary. So I will praise him, my heart.